But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Oh, now you all want Bill Belichick. Now you want Belichick when he's actually got a job in North Carolina. Now multiple teams, Pearl, including the Raiders and Tom Brady, are reaching out to gauge Belichick's interest. Guys, he took a job in college less than a month ago. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted an interview with this dude 4 weeks ago, but now you can't get off of him, according to NFL Network. Good morning. Hey, Pearl, how you doing?
Well, most of the teams are... I'm actually tracking it. They're interviewing 743 people. I was reached out by two NFL teams to be the head coach. But
I hope you stay with us.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is, like, do they really want him to be their head coach, or do they just want to talk to him and put him in the mix? So I look back at a month ago, Bill Belichick probably reached out to teams and said, will you hire me as your next head coach? And people didn't say definitively yes. So he's like, I'll take the North Carolina job. Now, so that, I think that's a big question. Is he in the mix? Like, are they interviewing Ben Johnson and Bill Belichick? Is he, like, being compared to, like, a 38-year-old offensive coordinator? Like, what does this all mean? Yeah, of course you would want to interview Bill Belichick, but here's the question, too. Like, if you interview the greatest coach of all time, you have to commit. Like, you can't. That's what I didn't understand about last year. You don't bring Bill Belichick in the building and let him out, but apparently teams do.
Well, the Falcons did. Right?
Yeah, I know, which is nuts.
Right, and the Falcons did. You look back on it. Falcons not making the playoffs this year. Would they have made the playoffs if Bill Belichick was their head coach? I think you could say yes, they probably would have. They have the talent. They have the roster. But let's put that aside for a sec, because you said an interesting thing. You know, if you're going to bring in Bill Belichick, is he being interviewed in this cycle? I'm always just baffled by how NFL teams have so little foresight. And what I mean by that is, if you have coaches, if you're an owner and you have a coach that's already on the hot seat, whether it was a Matt Eberflus or whether it was a Robert Saleh or whether it was a New Orleans Saints.
Dennis Allen.
You go into the season, you're already not sure. You want to know why you're not sure? Because you haven't given these guys contract extensions for years and years. You haven't committed a lot of money to these dudes for years and years. So you can interview and you can talk to Bill Belichick behind the scenes at any time. This isn't tampering. If the Chicago Bears wanted to talk to Matt Eberflus, to talk to Belichick behind Eberflus's back, they could have done that at any time, and they decided not to.
He's not on a team, right?
Right.
If he was on a team, it would be officially tampering, I think. But
yeah, and also...
But you could call his agent either way.
And he wouldn't be interested because he'd be coaching a team.
Yeah, right? Good point. So
it's like, this is what I think is just kind of odd about this, is you could have back-channeled Belichick long before we got to this point, which is coaches fired, six teams now looking for new head coaches. Listen, maybe the Raiders had to literally play this thing out to week 18, but then I would say to them, that is you not planning for the future. That is you not being able to see 5 inches in front of your face. If you could have talked to Belichick at any time and you decided not to until now, when he's less than a month into the new gig.
But use common sense. Nobody in that building wanted Tom Telesco doesn't want Bill Belichick coming along. So why would the people...
It's not Tom Telesco's world anymore, and I think that's very clear.
Think of who runs the Raiders. Like, nobody in that building, except Tom Brady, who's actually not in that building. Nobody in that building wants Bill Belichick sniffing around.
Sure.
Like, they're not going to call him in weeks. Antonio Pierce doesn't want him. Tom Telesco doesn't want him. Mark Davis is an owner. He's probably on a different sphere. So it would have had to been Brady and Davis to do this 4 weeks ago. And you're right, they didn't.
I know, but I think this stuff happens at the ownership level a lot more than we think. Like, who was Belichick meeting with, right? It was Arthur Blank, who's the owner of the Falcons. And then the front office guys are the ones who put the kibosh on it, because they don't want Belichick coming in and doing it his way, and probably they're all fired and all of that stuff. So I just find it funny that just NFL teams have no foresight. Belichick's been out here. He's doing McAfee. He's on every single platform. You could have talked to him at any time just to gauge his interest.
But I don't think their interest is as strong as maybe it should be, like, because they want to interview a bunch of other guys too. If it really was Belichick, then why do they seem to be interested in a lot of other people too? Like their first requests were Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I think Brady, a couple things. So the report yesterday, NFL Network, multiple teams, including the Raiders and Tom Brady specifically, did reach out to Belichick to see if he would just about face on North Carolina. Just, I no longer want to be HC of UNC. Would he do the same thing they did to the Jets? Think about it. Bill Belichick even back-channeled to the Jets, a team he absolutely loathes, an owner he openly mocks. He back-channeled that before he took the North Carolina job. This dude wants to be in the NFL. He took North Carolina as the consolation prize.
Right, so I'm sure, how do we know that he didn't back-channel the Raiders?
I mean, I don't think Brady, I guess, was like actually approved, like technically, until very recently at the most recent owners meetings. I don't know. I always think these guys are playing 3D chess, and it turns out they're not. They're playing checkers.
Also, I think Bill Belichick's a very realistic person. You're right. He realized the perfect job was not there, so he took North Carolina. I don't know. If I'm Bill Belichick, I am not excited to be the Raiders head coach because, okay, like, I don't think he wants to lose again.
So that's interesting, right? Let's do an alternate universe here. We used to do the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff. Yeah. We still dabble. What if Bill Belichick took the job as the Raiders head coach? Now, he's basically put it out there. He doesn't have a lot of interest. He's on the recruiting trail now. It's not going that great, according to the scouting services.
He stole a guy from UConn yesterday.
He did.
Generally, yeah, it's going pretty poorly. But
UMass, UConn, Delaware, and the backup quarterback at Purdue.
He got a baller out of Holy Cross, apparently.
Yeah, that guy's a center. He's got like 1,500 snaps. Hey,
that is such a Bill Belichick player.
Is Kemba Walker and Bob Cousy coming to North Carolina? Yeah. What's going on here?
No, they had a guy named Joe Dudek who actually got Heisman hype about 25 years ago. But wait. anyway, we get to your point, Maggie. You were about to say, what happens if Belichick is a Raiders coach? Because I have a strong opinion on what would happen.
I think it's good. I think it would work. I don't think, and here's why. First of all, you need a quarterback, Maggie. But who took pick 199, okay? And developed pick 199. So here's a problem, I think, with a lot of NFL teams right now. The head coach and the general manager sometimes seems like they've never met before. And I think that may have literally happened with Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco. I have no idea if they had any crossover whatsoever. Pierce was hired, then Telesco was hired. Guys get hired on different schedules, and the GM and the head coach sometimes are not simpatico. Sometimes they are, and you can see how it works. Buffalo, for example, it works there. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott worked together at the Carolina Panthers. Now they're doing their thing in Buffalo. Sometimes it can work, but a lot of times I think you have competing interests naturally between the two positions, and guys don't have a lot of connection. The ultimate connection. The ultimate two guys who can not only get along, even if they don't see everything eye to eye, who can put things aside to win football games, who, no matter how it ended in New England, still at every turn just say how much respect they have for each other. These two dudes, Brady and Belichick, that is, teaming up again, they both see football the same way because Belichick taught Brady that.
That is such a fantasy that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to build. Tom Brady's not the GM. He's not even the team president. He's a partial owner. So is Richard Seymour. So is Serena Williams with the Dolphins. I don't even know what you're talking about. So you think they're going to sit and build a team together like architects? Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
I think Brady's definitely involved. I mean, to say, yes, he's a minority owner. I know he's not the GM, but obviously he's involved if he's calling Belichick. Obviously.
Here is the issue is not just that. Mike Mayock and John Gruden knew each other really well, and they drafted a bunch of guys that gutted this roster for 10 years, and they're still digging out from that. Like, Bill Belichick would come to this team, you said, multiverse. They'd be 4-13.
How many Super Bowls did Mike Mayock create?
What's that?
How many Super Bowls did Mike Mayock, was he the architect of?
No, I'm just saying, like, yeah, but this is a Raiders roster that is still digging out from the Mike Mayock, John Gruden era. Like, look, you have no talent. Like, there's no possible way. Your plan is to find the next Tom Brady in the sixth round? Like, you're not going to win more than 4 or 5 games this
year. Listen, I didn't say they'd win the Super Bowl year one.
Well, Belichick is not going to want to go and have a really bad losing season in Vegas. That would be terrible.
Well, here's the thing, though. If he's there for the next 3 years to stabilize things, okay, listen, the Chargers didn't have a great roster. Now, granted, they had a great quarterback. Jim Harbaugh comes in, they're a playoff team.
Oh, my God. They had Justin Herbert.
I get it. They have a quarterback.
That's a massive difference. No, that's not just a little detail. That's a massive detail. That's why he chose the Chargers. He had other options.
I'm just saying that in year one, you can make incremental advancements. And I'm not saying Super Bowl year one, mm-hmm. but I'm saying it could work. And by the way, in that division, you want to bring a knife to a gunfight with Andy Reid, Sean Payton, and Jim Harbaugh, and you're going to hire some who knows guy? I'd rather have Belichick in that quartet.
Yeah, who has basically his fist in a gunfight. Like, he has no tools to win games there. I look at the depth chart. Just pull it up. And you think Bill Belichick's going to want to coach that?
Listen, they need a quarterback. I know they need.
It would go so bad. Because, and you're also discounting the organizational dysfunction. It's not an accident the Raiders haven't won since 2001. There's a lot going wrong in that building, and there's no way you could dig that out. 3 years? There's no way Bill Belichick wants to go somewhere where it's going to take 3 years to win.
Okay, but hold on. You mentioned the organizational dysfunction, and you're right about that. And nobody has any faith in Mark Davis and the Raiders, and it's just been bad. You're going to give me all these candidates, the Ben Johnsons, the Aaron Glenns, the whoever, all these guys who, yes, talented, super good at what they do, never been head coaches before, never had to build a culture before. That's just words to them. They've been part of a culture, part of one. But Dan Campbell runs that culture in Detroit.
Right. He was a first-time coach.
And he had been an interim. But yes, he was a first-time coach who went 3-13 and then started 1-6, and the organization still stayed with him. If you're trying to get things right from a culture standpoint, how could you not think Belichick is that person? I mean, he...
Because you're the Raiders, and I don't know.
He's the only one who can break this cycle.
Just feels like it'd be bad. That particular team. And by the way, I don't think Ben Johnson is going to touch the Raiders with a 100-foot pole. I think Aaron Glenn, I'd be shocked if Aaron Glenn took that job too. I think he'd have much better offers. So I think they're going to have whoever's left. Nobody's going to want that job. It's going to be the last job taken. And I think Bill Belichick, maybe because he was desperate he would have taken the Raiders, but I don't think this is a good spot. I think that would have gone badly.
855-212-4227. Would it work? Brady Belichick teaming back up. I'll tell you this. It'd be the biggest story of the year, too. Now, that doesn't matter necessarily to Raider fans. You want the results. You don't care about the story. But if there was a way, and I'm not trying to gloss this, but you obviously need a quarterback. It's the number one thing they need. I don't know the path. I told you guys yesterday I think they should trade for Brock Purdy. I got laughed at by you. I don't know if Shador Sanders is a realistic option because you have to trade up.
They're a little low in the draft, yeah.
You're picking sixth right now. You're going to have to pay a king's ransom to get Shador.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I don't have an easy answer for quarterback, and maybe that's the one thing where Belichick would say no thanks because you don't have a quarterback I can win with.
You say it'd be the biggest story, but think of the last couple years of Bill Belichick in New England. Like, they were a 1 o'clock game. They were not... Nobody cared. Like, when they played the Giants and it was like 6-3 or something, like, I think people turned away pretty fast. I'm not sure the Raiders are must-watch TV with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady as a partial owner. Here's the gist of the argument. I think you would keep blowing up this Tom Brady partial owner. Like, he is sitting there and he's going to fix all this. I just don't think his role is nearly as big. You have him as GM, president, owner, coach. I'm actually shocked you haven't brought up the fact that he should put on the pads and go out there and play quarterback. I know your brain. You've definitely thought about it. Tom Brady, it's not 2000 in New England. He's not going to come in and turn the Raiders into a Super Bowl team. He also happens to be the color analyst for Fox.
Oh, get out of here. He's not going to be doing that past the Super Bowl.
I've heard he puts tons of effort and time into that.
Yeah, I know. And that's not a good thing. He should start telling people he's mailing it in, and at least then we'd understand why it doesn't sound as good as it probably should.
He was, by the way, he's
getting better.
He's totally fine now.
He's getting better, but here's the thing. I think it's one and done. With Brady, he'll call the Super Bowl, and I think that the being involved in a team is going to speak more to him than telling us that you've got to, set up the run to get the pass game going. Like, I think Brady's gotten better as a broadcaster, but as far as, like, these amazing insights that he was giving, I just don't think he's speaking the language of the common football fan. I think it's better for him to be amongst his own. There's some people who can explain the game really well to us, the audience, and there's some people who can't. Like, Chris Collinsworth's amazing at it. Greg Olsen's great at it. There's some guys who are just really good at doing it. I don't think Brady falls in that category. I think we're still giving him a lot of just, he's the GOAT, and this is cool whenever Tom Brady happens to like even half tell a story. He's not even a great storyteller. He needs to be doing what he knows best, which is being around football people and inside of a team. That's where he gets the FU attitude. That's where he gets the chip on his shoulder. That's when you get the best of Tom Brady. Him in a suit, in a booth, it will only ever, there's a ceiling on how good he'll ever be at that.
Yeah, I totally disagree. He's absolutely fine. I could care less if it's Greg Olsen, Tom Brady, Tony Romo. I do enjoy Romo because he's so loose right now. But I think that he's going to stick with Fox, and he works really hard at that, and that's going to be his primary job. I have $40 million a year reason why, too. They're giving him a lot of money.
I know.
And he seems pretty content.
Well, so we're on this tangent about Brady. Yeah. We're asking you if Brady and Belichick in Las Vegas would work. I say yes. Perloff says no. But the one other part about this, I think Brady is the kind of guy, you know, it's about wins and losses with him. And we do this for a living, so we know. The only way you really get judged in broadcasting is really like, how do you feel about the game? How do you feel about the broadcast? And how do your bosses feel about the broadcast? You can go to ratings, whatever, but those numbers can all be fudged. I don't think Brady operates that way. I think he is the kind of guy who needs a winner and a loser. And in broadcasting, it's a lot more nebulous. It's a lot more taste. And you love Romo, and I might not like him, but I might like, I might love Troy Aikman, and you might not love him. It's all subjective. Right. I think Brady needs either a win or a loss to feel validated, and he's not going to get that in broadcasting.
Well, I think I would definitely do a show bet that he's back as a broadcaster next year.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'll take that one.
Okay.
I'll dress up as part of the black hole.
Done.
The big spikes and all that stuff. I don't know how we even get one of those costumes. Amy Trask can help us.
I would start shopping for it now because I firmly believe he'll be back.
I think he's gotten a taste. He's getting a little taste of this team building thing, and I think it revs the engine in a way that broadcasting's not going to do for him.
Okay.
He wants to sit there and talk about Jameis Winston? No. No.
Yeah, just get the spike shoulder pads back.
I'm going to start buying you silver and black face paint. 855-212-4227. Tom Brady wants to be up there talking about Baker Mayfield. He doesn't. He wants to be designing ways to beat Jim Harbaugh. Well, maybe not Jim. He's a Michigan guy. Patrick Mahomes.
Brady loves this broadcasting thing. Every player loves this broadcasting thing. It's the easiest job on earth compared to what he used to do.
I don't know. I didn't see Joe Montana do it for a really long time, did I?
That's because he got fired.
Well, I know Brady's not going to get fired, but...
Also, Brady, like, I watch Sunday Ticket. I can't tell. Brady sounds like every other guy. He sounds like Olsen. Like, their voices are all quite similar, which is funny to me. They're all like former quarterbacks who say the same old stuff. Most fans, 90% of the fans don't care. Like, we're in the media, so we pick apart, like, these guys. Like,
I'm saying Brady cares. I'm not talking about the audience. The audience is fine. You're right. I don't think anyone tunes in or tunes out of a game. I think Brady's not getting the fulfillment out of the broadcasting that he would being part of a team with a chip on his shoulder. We're going to win this thing. We're going to do this.
Where should we make Maggie walk around in the Raiders uniform?
Times Square.
Or Perloff.
It's not going to be me. Brady's coming back.
855-212-4227. All right, got two things there for you. Do you think Brady and Belichick would work with the Raiders? And then also, do you think Brady is coming back next year, if you have a thought about that? Fake laugh. You don't have to fake laugh when you're picking quarterbacks.
I don't know. Those draft interviews be kind of weird. Yeah, I think there's a lot of fake laughing.
Oh,
if Hard Knocks taught me anything. Those pre-draft interviews.
Oh, they're totally awkward. Yeah. So what's your biggest weakness? I'm a perfectionist.
I can't care too much.
You guys were ripping Lamar. I'm too excited for the playoff games. I just want to win too badly. You're like, wow.
What an admission.
What a loser.
No one said that. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots to do today. Lots of news. Was that the fake laugh for Dion? Yeah, that was a room full of reporters giving Dion a courtesy laugh. We got Dion news, by the way. Deion Sanders news. College football playoff game tonight. Perloff repping Penn State. Manny, are you going to stand for that? You're actually a Penn State fan.
Depends. Depends on how the rest of the show goes. We'll figure it out about 9 o'clock Eastern, how I feel about this.
Classic Perloff, jumping on the bandwagon the last minute.
I
don't even think you're picking Penn State in this game, Manny, but you're wearing the sweatshirt.
Manny knows there might be a twist on this uniform.
Oh, okay.
We had a little pre-production call ourselves.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know. Oh, man, I'm the last to know. 855-212-4227. Raider fans, you want Bill Belichick? Make him a Godfather offer. Maybe he would turn on UNC. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I'm looking at a list of the Dallas Cowboys' schedule for next year.
Okay.
Because we have a new show bet. We have some other ones to clear up, which we'll get to this year, we promise. Will Tom Brady be a broadcaster next year? And I'm looking at which game he will be calling week one for Fox. I think the Cowboys versus the Vikings, 425, Sunday, Fox. The bet is if Tom Brady is broadcasting week one of the 2025 NFL season, then I win, and Maggie has to dress up like a member of the Black Hole and walk somewhere embarrassing. And if Tom Brady retires and decides I want to really full-time quasi-run the Raiders, then I have to dress up like a member of the Black Hole. So I think a lot depends on this offseason. Does he love this ownership thing? But I am pretty confident that he will stick with broadcasting. I don't think he wants to be viewed as a broadcasting loser like Jason Witten and call the Super Bowl and then say, I'm never doing this again. So I think he, and also he's under contract, and I think he loves it, and he's totally fine as a broadcaster. He's not exceptional, but he's whatever.
Okay.
So I say 425, once he says, welcome to Dallas Stadium, let's go, week one next year, I win the bet.
Yeah, I think I'm winning this one. I think you're way too confident. This was just a couple months ago where we actually thought Bill Belichick may have been getting the handle on this media thing. These guys don't respect the media and love the media the way that we think so. They're putting it on because they're doing a job. Once you give them a taste of the actual football again, that's what gets the juices going. Let's not forget, this is Tom Brady. This is a guy who retired for 30 days and came back. He doesn't care what everyone else thinks about him. And I don't think that he's
Tom Brady doesn't care what everyone else thinks about him?
I don't think
that's the exact opposite of Tom Brady.
I don't think that if he is a one-and-done broadcaster and does the Super Bowl, I bet he'll probably get pretty good marks for the Super Bowl, and then he'll walk away and say, this was my choice. I mean, he's not going to, like, I don't think that he would just say, listen, I tried it, I gave it my all, I did my best, and you know what? I actually like this team-building thing, or I want to see if I can help the Raiders. I don't think his heart is into this. I think he's doing the work because he doesn't know any other way, and that's his work ethic, but I don't think his heart is in broadcasting. I do not.
Yeah, that's great. So where should we make Maggie walk in this Raiders jersey?
Well, can I interject 1 second and just ask to clear a pre-issue that might pop up?
Yeah.
Because people started tweeting yesterday, or I guess 2 days ago when this story came out that Brady was going to be involved in the coaching search, that this is another proof of how involved he actually is in Raiders ownership, that he's not just hanging out. What happens if it's not his decision that he can't be in the Fox booth anymore?
Because, oh, it's the NFL. Then yes. Maggie wins.
Maggie wins on that at that front as well?
Definitely. Okay.
I don't think the NFL would step in for that. Thank you, Bogish, for I'll take all the help I can get on this one. I think I'm very right about this anyway.
You suck, Bogish.
But I don't think the NFL is going to step in there. Maybe they would. I think they would let Brady.
They've debated it many times. Like, what was the last ruling they had?
He can't be involved in certain meetings.
Tom Brady was a topic at the last owners' meeting, I think.
This whole thing has been. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I still think. And also, you guys are talking like Tom Brady is the entire Raiders thing. Like, you actually said Tom Brady and Bill. You think they can recreate the 2001 Patriots, like, here? Like, they're going to stick.
They got Richard Seymour and Tom Brady in the building. Run Drew Bledsoe away.
Sadly, they're wearing a suit. They're not. They have shoulder pads on. Yes, they have Tom Brady and Richard Seymour in the building. They're both in their 40s. They're not playing football. That's the problem. That's the gist of the problem, although Brady might. I think that's what your angle should be. Like, should Brady come back? He's like, they ain't getting Shador. They don't want Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on, Tom. Step on down. That, I think, is a bigger threat than him being the GM of the Raiders. Why would, also too, they didn't fire Telesco. Like, what do you think, this guy is just sitting there? Like, I don't understand what you think is happening in this building.
Listen, somebody's got to grind the tape on the Bowling Green tight end yesterday. That's where Telesco comes in. We want you taking the visits to Fargo while Tom Brady decides who's going to be the quarterback of the team and the head coach.
Can I make one more comment that you guys were all mad at me because I wasn't in awe of the Cooper flag dunk yesterday. I saw you, EJ, come after me on Twitter last night.
Don't move the goalposts.
Okay, Tom Telesco, he is dining out on the Brock Bowers pick like crazy. Brock Bowers is a really good young tight end.
Yeah.
He's the only dude to throw to. Of course he had 180 catches. Who else are you going to throw to on that team?
Oh, Jacoby Myers did have a
catches
career.
Catches are the most overrated receiving stat of all time. But, like, he had a million targets, too. He's really, really good. But drafting Brock Bowers does not mean that he is the new Gil Brandt.
Which is exactly why they need Brady.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Well, I keep reading. Tom Telesco drafted Brock Bowers. He's on the right path. I just think, like, people are always like, they're gonna buy the hype of the Raiders, and it just never ever ever works.
Well, this is why you gotta hope Brady, and I don't think Belichick's coming back. Like, it'd be so, he would look terrible if he turned his back on North Carolina in less than a month.
You know what would look even worse? Going 3-14 with the Raiders next year. They have a tough assignment. This team is not good. And they have a horrible schedule every year because of the AFC West. And the Broncos and the Chargers are just getting better and better and better.
Okay, well, if Brady didn't want any of the smoke, then we would never hear from him. If Brady didn't want the smoke, then he would just be, I'm a minority owner, but I'm just going to be a silent minority owner. We're getting reports that he's calling Belichick. He's in the building. He's going to have influence over who the next head coach is, probably the next quarterback. He's putting himself in there.
Great.
He wants it. So he's not shying
away.
Yeah, but
he also wanted the smoke of the broadcasting, and in your mind, it's already done with that.
Yeah, I just think that was a dabble, and they get paid him so much money.
So why wouldn't this be? Why wouldn't this be a dabble?
It might be, but I think it's his new. I think it'll be his new thing. Get the engines going a little bit. But now we have a new show bet. We have a show bet. If Brady's in the broadcast booth next year, I have to dress up like a member of the Black Hole. If he's not, then Perloff has to dress up like a member of the Black Hole.
Okay.
And everyone in the Black Hole wears pants. I just want to set that,
but
that
they're
out
very
there.
Tight, though.
There are no short shorts in the Black Hole.
They're football pants.
Yeah.
those do not leave a lot to the imagination, unfortunately for you.
But again, you could buy a size up. Okay. Don't wear your wife's football pants, okay?
Bogus, how selfish of you. You're only thinking about how this bet will impact you.
Yeah.
All football pants are kind of embarrassing if you think about it. The men, they wear tights.
I know, but they still hide things that need to be hidden. Nothing's falling out onto my shoulder.
I don't know. Did you see Derrick Henry this year when his pants got pulled down?
No one's going to pull your pants down.
Remember that run where Lamar had to hold his pants up as he was running and he still got 30 yards?
No one's going to grab at your pants.
Yeah. There's no
innate danger in your pants. Your shorts are a problem.
He just showed his butt.
I could see Manny cutting that. Nobody's going to grab at your pants, Perloff. It's not high school all over again.
Yeah, I'm sure that was going down all the time. Meanwhile, yeah. D in Portland says, I still have a show bet to clear up, though.
Jets.
I thought that I was in the clear. I thought Perloff, I'm not in the clear. I have,
have
a Waffle House bet. Yep. Perloff still has to drive to San Antonio. We put that bet on the back burner because of Greg Popovich's health.
Yeah.
We didn't want to call and start asking silly favors from the team when they were dealing with that. D, what's up, dude?
Good morning. It was that bet that you had Jets going to playoffs. What kind of stuff were you smoking that day, Maggie?
Me and everybody else. Yeah, that was a bad one. I picked them to win the AFC East. What a dope I am.
So wait, but what was the bet? I don't remember a bet.
The bet was if I lost, I would send you guys a Rudy Fernandez jersey, which, by the way, I'll still do it. I just need a P.O. box and whatever. And if Maggie lost, you guys would have sent me your guys' merch or whatever if you guys wanted to. That was the bet.
I'm happy to pay off. Maggie always pays her bets. I'm going to put you on hold. EJ's going to grab your address, and you can just ask Phil and PA. We're good on this. We'll send you the merch. We sent Phil this big care package along with his Randall Cunningham jersey that he let us borrow for 2.5 years.
Do we want a Rudy Fernandez jersey?
Hell yeah. Who's turning that down?
I don't know. It's kind of random.
I love it. I got a Fred Jackson jersey behind my shoulder. You want to talk about random? You had a ball signed by Mikal Bridges when it could have been Jalen Brunson. We love random around here.
Mikal Bridges is a star. Rudy Fernandez is a player. Like, I don't actually remember.
I think Mikal Bridges went 1-for-10 last night.
He's paid like a star.
They all are now.
Yeah, welcome to the NBA, Perloff.
Man, that was a good game last night between the Thunder and the Cavs. I'm assuming Bogish has that in this update.
All this update is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Yes, it was the first time in NBA history that a team on a 15-game win streak met a team on a 10-game run. The Thunder and Cavaliers a combined 61 victories. They came together in Cleveland last night, and the game did not disappoint.
Garland looking, looking. Garland now dribbles to the top of the three-point arc, backs up, 30 to go. Garland into the paint, floats, automatic! DG!
Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. Cleveland took the showdown 129-122, extending its win streak to 11. Cavs head coach Kenny Atkinson enjoyed it.
I think it had it like playoff atmosphere, playoff competition. Guys were competing. I felt like there was no like extracurricular stuff. It was just like pure basketball, pure competition.
Jared Allen led the Cavs with 25 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals.
Well, I have a new favorite player off last night's game.
Ty Jerome.
Well, no. Yeah,
I own a prep high school getting a shout out.
That's right.
Yeah, I did see that.
New York City, baby.
I actually thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, man. No, Jared Allen's post-game interview, he is as big a nerd as I am, and I love every second of him.
he is.
He is the NBA's ultimate nerd.
Well, Bogish might know him a little bit if you were doing Nets games when he was here for a while.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Oh.
Can you imagine Kenny Atkinson, Jared Allen in like the New York City spotlight? That'd be amazing for them.
Those two dudes give a new meaning to low-key.
I went on a YouTube. After I watched the game, I went on a YouTube journey with Jared Allen talking about Lord of the Rings in multiple interviews. Like, I'm telling you, this guy is... It's dorkier than me.
He looks like he shops at H&M or Amazon.
Wait, but it's not cool to shop at H&M?
That's nerds go there? Well, I mean, people who have money like Jared Allen probably shouldn't shop at H&M. People who have Manny money shop at H&M.
Well, it's funny because people were making fun of Jared Allen's outfit when he was at the All-Star game a couple years ago. And Perloff's like, I don't understand why they're making fun of his outfit. We did a side-by-side. You were literally wearing the exact same thing as him.
It was exactly.
Like, who wore it best, you know?
Yeah, I thought his outfit was just fine. That's what I'm saying.
Great.
Like, he's me, and he's a 7'4" athletic version of me.
Different hair. His fro is so cool.
Yeah, but mentally, watch him.
Was that the Cavs JV team last night? How was he like you?
Oh, sick burn.
Because he's obsessed with Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, and apparently all he does is sit and read in the locker room. He's awesome. Also, by the way, he was pretty good last night. That game was... Maggie, you tweeted, like, if this is the finals, I'm good with that.
You'll get Knicks Thunder and you'll like it.
I don't know. Was that game really that exciting? Thunder Cavs? Is that star power? Like, I was thinking from an NBA standpoint, it's like, are they really going to want to see Darius Garland coming down the lane and Shai Gilgeous hogging the ball? I just don't know if that matchup's going to work.
Hate us and I hate our business and I hate this angle. We're talking about Tom Brady. Is he going to be in the booth? We think of things through a media lens. Yeah. The media will crush it. Mad Dog will get up there. If you don't have New York and L.A., no one's going to watch.
I'll tell you, Maggie. Give me Mad Dog saying Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for a 7-game finals.
But it's going to be him and Cowherd, and they're all going to have the same take that they always have about how no one's going to watch because it's small markets. And listen, I get Milwaukee and Phoenix when they were in the finals. It didn't do gangbusters, or I get Denver and Miami. But just watch the game last night. That was fantastic basketball. That kind of basketball brings people back to the sport. People who left it thinking the players are too powerful or the sport's too woke or whatever you want to say, watch that game last night. Tell me you didn't enjoy that. It's awesome.
It was fine. Give me Wemby. Give me Zion. Give me something. That's like two solid teams.
I gave you Wemby on Christmas. You said, no, NFL. That's what I want to watch. I want to watch, Titans get blown out by 30 points and Russell Wilson struggle to get past the 50-yard line.
Do you really think, they were trying to sell Shai last night big time? Like, is it an exception? I mean, he's a pull-up jumper guy. I don't know. He's basically
it
DeMar.
It always goes in.
DeMar DeRozan
Michael Jordan
see you guys next
last
hour.
Night.
No, I got to have this, Maggie. This is why people behind this glass and there are certain NBA fans can't stand this. Because
he's a mid-range player. This is my least favorite kind of player.
Okay, so all we hear the whole time, this whole part about what's wrong with the NBA.
Too many threes.
It's too many threes. Where's the mid-range? Where's the pull-up?
I don't say any of that crap.
Where's the guys going? And then we have the best player in the NBA right now, arguably, basically lives exclusively in the mid-range. Goes to the cup all the time. He's always driving to the basket. And then it's... Well, do we really want to see it? It's like, these guys can't win. They can't.
He's very fun to watch, bro. You got to admit.
I've, I take Zion on one leg is more exciting than any player on that court.
Zion has one leg. That's the problem. Yeah. He didn't play again last night.
Give me some athleticism. Give me, like, there was like once in a while Donovan Mitchell will have a cool dunk, but generally that team is like, oh, okay, Shea's going to come down. He's not going to pass. He's going to take a 14-foot jumper. Boring.
Come on.
There's three guys named with the same name on the team. And the Cavs, are you really think this Cavs team is exciting
Donovan
to
Mitchell
the public?
Is one of the most athletic players in the NBA.
Crazy.
One of the most exciting players in the NBA.
If you're trying to sell this Cavs team, then you guys
you're just hitting on Jared Allen four seconds ago.
Yeah, I love him because he's a nerd. But there's no Q rating with the Cleveland Cavaliers of 2025. You think that that's going to bring fans back? Because the style of play was... No.
Wait, hold on, Perloff, though. Yeah. There's one thing that you absolutely love. I know this about you because I've been sitting next to you for a long time. You love the Steve Kerr 100 passes, right? You love moving the ball. You love finding the open man. You love basketball being played at a high level. That's what we got last night. They're finding the open man, the right guy, the extra pass, all of it. It was all there.
No. Shea never. She doesn't even pass. There's no passing. And the Cavs, like, for some reason, Mobley and Jared Allen pass to each other. But Shea, like, the Thunder do not move the ball. I bet you their pass number is way below the Warriors. So that's, by the way, that's a big reason I'm not sure the Thunder are going to be in the finals. They do not move the ball as well as they should. That being said, like, this is not, like, Vince Carter's my favorite player of all time. This is the opposite of Vince Carter. This is like solid mid-range play on both sides.
In it's not a dunk contest. We're talking about in the finals. What do you want to see, right?
I want to see like big stars going mano a mano. And I don't think you think this Cavs Thunder series would do that? I think you guys are just
wrong. Vince Carter was literally a participant in probably one of the most forgotten finals ever existed. Spurs Nets.
Who played? Oh, the Nets, yeah.
Nobody ever.
VC wasn't in that one.
I thought he was in one of them. No? Yeah. Okay, then he never was ever in the finals.
No, he never made the finals. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
He played for a team that was in a finals that everyone forgot.
I think you're making it, like, I think your point sounds good in theory, but in reality, as an NBA fan, to really, like, if you don't have any interest in the Thunder and Cavs, you're not like, oh my God, what a dream matchup. I get to see the Thunder and Cavs. Come on. You want to see LeBron. You want to see, like, something different than that. These are two very, very good teams, but they're not exciting to me.
This is why I'm serious. Like, there's another side, and Pearl represents a side that is out there. But, like, there's a side on this side of the glass, and a lot of NBA fans see this, and they're just disgusted. Because it's just like, there's nothing you can do. Like,
this Cavs team, this is the same Cavs team that's been here for five years.
You talk about how he can't, we need to move him or he's not playing in the post enough. I can give you Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, a guy who goes to the paint all the time, who lives in the mid-range. It's like, well, is that exciting? I can give you LeBron and Steph all the time. You say, well, we see this all the time. There's nothing the NBA can do. And this is why a lot of NBA fans are upset right now. Because it's like, there's nothing they can do. Like, there's something else underlying about why people are out in the NBA. And it feels like the J.J. Redick's of the world, these people keep talking about it. And then a lot of older fans want to scoff and be like, oh, no, it's something else. There's nothing they can do.
We all want Steph, but everybody wants Steph. Well, that's totally different. But you're dead wrong on that one.
How many more years is Steph going to be playing?
That's why we don't care anymore, because Steph's getting old and LeBron's getting old.
Well, the league can't fold up. They can't just shut down once these two guys retire. You got to develop the next stars.
It's just a cycle. Like, Jordan went away and it got boring and the Spurs came in and gutted the league for 10 years. There'll be somebody exciting new, but it definitely ain't these two teams.
Watch 1980s basketball and watch those Lakers-Celtics here. You'll see nobody playing above the rim, nobody taking threes. That's all guys playing in the mid-range, passing the ball. And then now it's like, well, we want highlights. We want alley-oops. We want dunks. It's like, that's not what got the NBA back to their level, though. That's my point.
I was a huge Lob City fan. Go Clippers.
That worked out well.
They did great.
A lot of fun. Finals.
They didn't even get to the Western Conference Finals. That I know.
I'm not saying they won. I'm just saying I found that entertaining.
Oh, nobody watched the Clippers, really.
Blake Griffin. No, oh, God.
Who was hurt all the time.
Stick that right into my veins. I loved that team.
The other part of this, too, is they're going to say, oh, big market, and the Knicks are going to get in. People are going to say, oh, the NBA is better when the Knicks are there. And everyone's going to turn on the Knicks so fast because fans are so annoying. It's going to happen.
Hey, guys.
Oh, they play defense. Oh, what's the man?
Tibbs, is he burning everyone?
Oh, the Villanova.
NBA cannot win right now.
But no, the Knicks are super hateable. I think that would be entertaining. Like, everybody would.
Well, they hate the fans. I don't think they hate the team.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the Knicks would be like the villain.
A bunch of scrappy guys from Villanova. You can't hate that. 855-212-4227. All right, we got to take a quick break. Coming up, we do have some 49ers news for you. Big personnel decisions being made by the team. We'll get to that next. Good game last night between the Thunder and the Cavaliers. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, talking about whether or not that'd be a good finals matchup, or does it lack star power? Let's get to the 49ers for a moment. You can weigh in on that, by the way, at 855-212-4227. But let's get to the 49ers, because yesterday they made some personnel moves. They have released Javon Hargrave, who not 2 years ago, Pearl, was one of the big signings and a big offseason acquisition along that defensive line. It was a lot of money. It was touted as a fantastic signing. Now they're saying goodbye to him. But more importantly, perhaps, John Lynch saying that Deebo Samuel will not be cut. They still value Deebo as a member of the team, even though they've been trying to trade him for the last couple of years. But he will not be a cap casualty. Were you surprised?
Yeah, a little surprised. I figured Deebo would be done. Like, what does he have left? Nothing. He was so bad this year. I mean, he was outright bad. There were times he couldn't get around the corner. Then at the end of the season, maybe he got healthier because he had one really good game. I actually can't remember which game it was. Like, oh, Deebo can run again. Oh, I think it was the Miami game. He just, his rushing average fell from 7 yards a carry to 3 yards a carry or something. He's washed.
Well, they were asking him to do a lot because he was one of the only playmakers besides Kittle, and Juwan Jennings got hurt. Pearsall had a crazy season. Ayuk's out for the year. I mean, they asked Deebo to carry a lot of the load too.
Well, I don't think he carried the ball a lot more last year, actually. I just think he slowed down. Last year he was 6.1 yards per carry, and he had 225 yards. This year it was 3.2 yards per carry, 136 yards. It was noticeable.
Well, yeah, because he didn't have McCaffrey also, like, taking some of those carries.
I think it was because he looked slow. Well, I think, like, there were edges where normally I was like, oh, Debo's going to get around that guy, and he just didn't this year. And I know the Niners press said the same thing. But we watched this Netflix special. The guy is held together by glue. I mean, he has physically gone through so much.
Remember when he had to leave the game because he got sick and ended up in the hospital for a couple days with pneumonia? I mean, again, I'll go back to this 49ers season. I'm tempted to just flush the whole thing. Now, I know they're making lots of changes their defensive coordinator, special teams. I believe they actually even have a new offensive coordinator. Clay Kubiak, I think, is going to be the offensive coordinator, but obviously Shanahan calls plays, so maybe that doesn't matter. But aren't you tempted to just flush that whole season and just say, you know what? Yep. Everything that could go wrong went wrong for the 49ers. Yeah. It's not indicative of anything bigger. Championship window still open. They just had an all-time bad luck season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all-time. It's the same exact season as 2020. It's literally almost... Went to the Super Bowl and just completely fell apart the next year. That one was even worse with injuries. That was the worst possible scenario. Every single player got hurt. But this year it was very similar. And then there was a junction point that year. They lost to the Bills in 2020 and then just fell apart for the rest of the season. This year, I think they lost to the Bills again, right?
They did.
Everything fell apart. So, yeah, I agree. It's a total flush thing. I just worry about the defense just getting mediocre, mediocre, mediocre. Like, who are they going to hire a defensive coordinator? I don't think they've hired anyone yet. It just feels like all of a sudden that superpower they had is gone. And Fred Warner is not getting any younger. And
yeah, but he's not old. He's still in his 20s.
Yeah, but I mean, for a linebacker, I don't know. I just worry that, like, are they going to maximize this window on the defense? Forget about the offense. Shanahan will figure that out. I'm not worried at all. But they keep on falling in the defensive rankings year, year, year. Like, how are you going to fix that? Javon Hargrave obviously didn't fix it.
No, they're saying that they are going to work really hard, though, to get a long-term extension with Dre Greenlaw, who's coming off the Achilles, obviously lasted one game and then had another issue pop up.
Yeah,
obviously,
I can't.
Overcompensating. But here's the thing where that the 49ers have under their control is they can make this offseason a lot smoother than last year. Mm-hmm. Something like Ricky Pearsall, that you can never see coming. He gets shot and survives, and thank goodness. But in terms of the contract stuff, they can make this go a lot more smoothly if they wanted to. And it's going to be Purdy. They're going to have to make a decision. All sides are saying they want it to happen quickly, but will they actually come through on that? Because I'm sure they wanted to get Nick Bosa done quickly, and that thing lingered until right up until the season. So,
yeah.
That's on John Lynch.
Yeah, also, too, like, you need a second pass rusher. Like, you actually, and I don't know where you get the money to get one of those.
We got college football playoff semifinal tonight. Penn State, Notre Dame, Orange Bowl in Miami. We also have injury news for you, some updates before Super Wild Card Weekend. Got a lot going on. Spaggy Perloff.